Well, depending on who you talk to, Australians re-elected the coalition government on the weekend because of Labor's franking credits policy, because no one cares about climate change anyway, or perhaps because Queensland is different. It's all speculation at this stage, but real data on this will be critically important in determining which issues and policies the government and the opposition parties prioritise. And already, data analysts are poring over the voting pattern for clues. One of those is Associate Professor Ben Phillips, who's the Director of the Australian National University's Centre for Economic Policy Research. And he says he's surprised by some of the results.
Well, what we found was traditional voters were those who were most likely to move across to the coalition. So we found that, say, electorates that had a high share of blue-collar workers, who typically were lower income, lower educated, and perhaps more likely to be Christian, these are the groups that shifted across to the coalition for this election.
How do you conduct your analysis?
Well, it was really quite straightforward. We looked at the two-party preferred swings, which anyone can download from the Australian Electoral Commission at the electorate level. And then we also compared that, or we matched it up with census data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. And we looked there at things like what share of people were Christian, or what share were low income, what share were blue collar workers. So that's things like tradespeople, machinery operators or labourers. And we also looked at income and some occupation related variables.
There's a lot of talk about a generational divide in this election, with a high voter enrolment and an assumption too that many young people would vote on climate change. What does your analysis reveal about the youth vote?
Yeah, so one of the surprising results is that we didn't find a very strong correlation between the swing and the age of voters. Now, we specifically only looked at older Australians, so those aged over 60, and I was trying to look at there that the retiree factor, so whether the retiree scare campaign around tax was a concern for voters, and there wasn't any particularly strong impact there in terms of the swing at the electorate level.
So you were expecting to find more of a divide along age lines?
Yeah, well, that's why I looked into it. I was reasonably sure there would be quite a big impact for older Australians. I know there was a lot of concerns around the franking credits, and a lot of older Australians have got franking credits, particularly in their self-managed super funds. But we didn't find that. In fact, we found quite the opposite, in that we found that people who are most likely to be impacted by Labor's tax increases, so that's the negative gearing, the franking credits, who are largely higher income people, we found that electorates with higher incomes were more likely to vote towards Labor, or swing towards Labor, I should say.
Why is that?
We're not entirely sure. It may well be. It's just speculation, I think, at this point. But why was it that lower income people and lower educated people tended to swing towards the coalition? It may well be that the scare campaign worked a little better on those groups of people, even though the actual tax changes were much less likely to impact those particular groups.
And you say that you didn't look specifically at the voting patterns of young people?
No, we only looked at the share of people who are aged over 60, and the under 60s and the over 60s tended to vote in a similar way, at least in terms of their swing pattern. We haven't looked specifically at very young age groups, but that certainly is something that that could be looked into in the near future.
The coalition did unexpectedly well in Queensland, and Queenslanders like to emphasise that they are somehow different to the rest of the country. Did your analysis confirm that?
Look, there seems to be some evidence that there is something special going on in Queensland, and I think specifically for some of the electorates where there were coal mines. But broadly speaking, we tend to find that the patterns in Queensland are similar as they are to other parts of Australia. The difference in Queensland is they tend to be lower income, they tend to be more likely to be Christian, they tend to be more likely to be blue-collar workers. So it's those factors that tend to be driving it, perhaps rather than a specific Queensland-related element.
You mentioned the religious vote. We've heard Labor's Chris Bowen caution his party not to abandon Australians of faith. Was there a big swing to the coalition under Scott Morrison specifically on the religious issue?
Certainly at the electorate level anyway, we did see quite a strong correlation. And this doesn't necessarily mean that all Christians voted one way, or that Christian was a deciding factor for individuals. But at that group level, we certainly did see that electorates that had a higher share of Christians were more likely to swing towards the coalition. There's quite a strong factor, one of the strongest factors we found.
And the primary vote for the coalition actually went down this election, along with Labor's. Did your analysis pick up who was voting for minor parties and why?
No, so that's a good point. We're only looking here at the two-party preferred swing, and you could redo the analysis along the lines of the first preference vote. So certainly what we are potentially seeing here is that there's been a pickup in votes towards, say, One Nation or the Palmer Party, United Australia Party, and how that's moved into the two-party preferred. So that's certainly an interesting observation as well.
So what's your overall assessment of what was driving voters in this election?
It does seem to be that it's the blue-collar workers, lower-income, lower-educated people of Australia who tend to have shifted across to the coalition in this election. And I found that quite interesting because I think most of the impacts that we're likely to see from Labor's policy, so the franking credits, the negative gearing, the capital gains tax, these are more likely to impact higher-income Australians, and they actually tended to swing towards Labor. So it's a very interesting result.
That's Associate Professor Ben Phillips, the Director of the Australian National University's Centre for Economic Policy Research.